Lord, we come before you and we just thank you that we could be together during the week, in the middle of the week, Lord, to hear your word, to plant the seeds that you have for us. We lift all of us up, Lord, and we ask that your strength comes through on struggles that are hard for us to overcome in our flesh, but we know that through you, when we are weak, you are strong. And we just ask for you to come forward and we allow you to help us with these things. We pray for any sickness. We rebuke it. And we claim all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be talking about hearing God's voice. And it's the beginning of it, still kind of basic. So, to keep it in time, because I've been going a little long on Sundays, I'll just read you guys the verses. You guys can write the verses down. You can look at them again later. So instead of waiting for us all to turn there, I'll just read them to you. Okay, so John 10:27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So one, the sheep hear his voice. Two, he knows them. And three, they follow him out of obedience. So there's three big parts in that. But tonight we're talking about hearing his voice. With your Wi-Fi or your cell phone signals, they're constantly broadcasting, but you have to have a device to lock in on them to receive communication through them. In the same way, God is always speaking to us, but sometimes we aren't tuned into the right frequency to recognize his voice. And all of us being born again believers, we should have a desire to hear God's voice. And we need to understand that we already have the ability to hear him. We have to understand that we have the ability to hear him. I have that underlined, so. You are his sheep, and he is very clear here that his sheep do hear his voice. So the most important place to start is to confess and believe. I am God's sheep, and I can hear his voice. So everybody remember that. We are his sheep, and we can hear his voice. So one of the first mistakes we make is like, I just can't hear God speaking to me. And now you're shutting it off. You're speaking the negative into that. Speak that positive and trust and confess it and believe it, just like salvation or healing or anything. When you say, I can't hear God's voice, or I struggle to hear God's voice, I wish I could hear God's voice more clearly, then you're putting a negative out there and you're kind of blocking it. Maybe it's because you're struggling to get direction on a specific decision that needs to be made, or maybe it's in trying to receive one of God's promises for you. But start with, I am God's sheep and I can hear his voice. It's part of the natural mind to say, I can't hear God's voice, but in saying that, you're shutting down your ability to hear him. He can be speaking, but you can't hear him because you're speaking and believing that you can't. It's fundamental to recognize, believe, and confess that as a believer, God does speak to you. You can hear his voice, and you do hear his voice. I am God's sheep. He speaks to me, and I hear him and follow him. Just like that, John 10:27. Remember how we have the John 10:10 rule? Is this from God or is it from Satan? Well, just 10:27, just a few verses later. You can use this in your rules too and pump yourself up when you do need to hear his voice. Hearing God's voice can be life or death. Ashley shared a story in the video. He said, "One day I was driving and I saw a hitchhiker walking down the side of the road. I heard the still small voice of the Lord say, 'Pick up that hitchhiker.' At first I thought, no, that's just me. I do that all the time. Because I really didn't want to. In fact, I even passed him by. But after I had passed, it was like the Holy Spirit was yelling at me to pick him up. So I made a U-turn and went back for him. And he started, after we started driving, he asked me, So what do you do for a living? And I answered, I'm a minister. He looked at me and said, Are you kidding me? Just 2 minutes ago, I prayed and I said, God, send someone to help me. I need one of your workers to help me. We spent about 20 minutes together. He had been born again years ago, but he rededicated his life to the Lord. I also led him in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he received his prayer language. It was a powerful time of ministry. When I dropped him off, he got out of my truck and said, I want you to know this was going to be my last night. I was going to end everything tonight. I prayed today and I said, God, if you love me, you're going to have to show me. And spending time with you today has really encouraged me. I feel like a new man now. He had started off beaten down and considering suicide, but he left encouraged and ready to go live life. So that was Ashley's story. I too always think, oh, that's just me. You know, sometimes when I hear something, like I doubt it. Sometimes we hear stories of people avoiding disaster because they heard and followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The question is asked, well, why didn't those other people hear the same warning? Usually it's because they aren't tuned in. They haven't developed the ability to hear and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we miss God speaking to us because we don't recognize it as God speaking to us. For example, Ashley felt that he should stop for that hitchhiker, but it wasn't like an angel from the Lord appeared or an audible voice saying, Ashley, stop and pick him up. It was subtle, but it just wouldn't go away. The feeling to stop increased in urgency, but that could have been a feeling easily dismissed as not being from God. So I think we can all relate to that. So we need to recognize the different ways that God speaks so that we can effectively tune in and begin to learn how to recognize his voice. So that's what we'll do now is recognize the different ways. The most important way that God speaks to us is through his word. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word of God isn't just a book. Jesus was and is the word. Jesus and the Bible cannot be separated from one another. They are the same. The Word of God is alive, and God can use it to speak directly to us regarding our current situations. God's Word is His authority, and He will never speak anything to you that contradicts the Bible. He may speak something to you that is outside of the Word, for example, Jimmy, don't work at that store, work at this store, or hey, Susan, move to this town. Specific things like that aren't in the Word of God, but they don't contradict the Word of God. So that's the point he's making right there, that he will never speak anything to you that contradicts the Bible. Proverbs 6:22, when you roam, they will lead you. They is the scriptures. So when you roam, the scriptures will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. The Word of God will speak with you. It is alive and one of the clearest ways God will speak to you. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You have to read the word in order for it to speak to you. Some people may say, oh, I don't read the word, I just listen to God. But if you don't know the word, it will be easy to be led astray because you don't have the word as your foundation. How are you going to know what you hear doesn't contradict or the Bible if you don't know what's in the Bible? You have to read the word and use that as your foundation. We don't read the word as though it is a novel or like any other book. In order to get the most out of it when we read the Bible, we need to invite the Holy Spirit to enable us to see the application of it to our own lives. Praying in tongues while you are reading the Bible can be helpful in gaining revelation from the Word. You're reading with your understanding, that's your mind, but yet you can have inspiration by the Holy Spirit. Asking the Holy Spirit to show you where you should start reading is actually a great exercise in learning to tune into that frequency. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word to you. He is our teacher and will guide us into all truth. That's mentioned in John 14, 26 and John 16, 13. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, like all of a sudden, I was really understanding the Word, and I couldn't get enough of the Word. And it's because the author of the Word, who inspired men to write it down, was explaining it to me. It's like I had the author right on my shoulders pointing, said, "That's what that means right there." And so we asked the Holy Spirit to help us understanding and discerning the Word and speaking to us. All right, the next one. God can speak through an audible voice. So during Ashley's teenage year rebellion, God woke him up multiple times during the night and said his name, Ashley. It was exactly like the story of Samuel when he heard the Lord calling his name and thought it was Eli. He gave his life to Jesus the next day. But hearing God's audible voice is very uncommon. Sometimes people think if you've heard God's audible voice, you must be really special. But in fact, it may be that God has to speak audibly because you aren't tuned in to listen. There are seven times recorded in the New Testament when God the Father spoke audibly to Jesus. And it also happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. So we see these instances in the Word where there is an audible voice, but it's very rare. But because this is rare, we don't need it. We have a more sure word of prophecy in the Word of God. Write down 2 Peter 1:19. It says that the Word of God, the Bible, is a more sure word of prophecy. So the words in the Bible are more sure than probably this audible voice. But it's just rare, so don't count on it, is kind of what they were saying. Okay, next one. God can speak to us through other people. And this section's a lot about what I taught on recently about rebuking and stuff. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friends can give direction and correction. Using the word of God, sometimes these words may even be hard to hear, but they are spoken in love to help you. People can speak to us through the spiritual gifts, words of wisdom or knowledge, prophecy, etc. So when people speak to you, it should be tested by the word of God and should be confirmation of what the Lord has been speaking to you already. And we talked about that on Sunday. With the spiritual gifts. Or you may put what was spoken to the side, and you may find he confirms it later on through the word or another form of confirmation, such as multiple people speaking the same things to you. When God uses people, they have flesh, so they can still miss it, but the Lord will always confirm it if it is from him. God will never bring condemnation or fear. So compare what is being said to you with the character and nature of God that is revealed in the Word. Ask yourself, does this sound like something God would really say to me? You have the great accuser condemning everybody all the time. Is that God's nature? No. So you can ask yourself that as you try to confirm what was said to you through a friend. Peter had Jesus' best interests at heart when he told him, "No, Lord, you don't have to go to the cross. This will never happen to you." But Peter's words violated what Jesus knew the Father had sent him to do, so he rejected them. It's an easy way to understand that whole situation. Jesus knew the task that God had for him, And what Peter said, even though it was said in love, it was contrary to what God said. Okay. God can speak to us through circumstances. There's been a lot of abuse on this one. People may assume if something negative happened, it's because they are in God's will and Satan is attacking them. Or if everything is going right, they must be in God's will and they're just being blessed. It doesn't work that way. You can twist your interpretation of your circumstances to fit any theology. Circumstances is the weakest way of determining if you're hearing God's voice. Trials can come when you're standing in faith and standing up for the Lord, then come as a result of the fallen world in which we live, and then come through attacks of the enemy. So it's very difficult to determine your spiritual standing based on circumstances alone. However, the Lord can use circumstances as a confirmation of God's will for our lives. This isn't a horoscope. If it rains this afternoon, that's a sign. That is very out of balance. Circumstances are simply a confirmation of what God has been speaking to you. So, an example they used was when God spoke to Carly regarding healing from epilepsy. This really challenged her faith. She said, "God, if this is really you, have my friend offer to pray for me." When it happened, it was a confirmation that she had really heard from God about receiving her healing. It wasn't direction, it was confirmation. And that's exactly what happened with Gideon with the fleece. He said, "Hey, mighty warrior," and "Who, me?" And it was like, well, if that's really the case, then when it's dry outside, make my fleece wet with dew in the morning. And it happened, right? And then he flip-flopped it and make everything else wet except for this. And what God was doing was confirming, yes, you heard from me. What I told you, it was from me. So that's a good example in the word of what we're talking about right here. And the more mature you get in the faith, the less you will need his audible voice or circumstances to confirm his will for you. Good or bad, don't read too much into them. Either good or bad, just, we can't always trust, but they can confirm what we feel like the Lord has been already speaking to us about. Okay, moving on to the next one. God can speak to us through dreams and visions. Joel 2:28, and it was quoted again in Acts 2. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. But you can't always trust your dreams are from God. It may have just been too much pizza. So some people will have more dreams than or visions because of the gifts God has given to them. When God speaks to Carly through a dream, they are always way more vivid than a normal dream. Dreams from God will stand out with an understanding that it was God. You may not understand what it meant at first, but you'll know it was from God. And I can confirm that. I mean, I had dreams and I'm like, that was a God dream. I know it. And the vividness, it's a good way they put it down because, and how come I can still remember all the details decades later? He speaks to us that way. Your dreams might be your flesh, they might be God, or they might be the enemy. So you need to understand the difference to determine the source. Actually, if you have negative dreams, it could be a sign that you're successfully keeping your thoughts in line with the Word of God while you're awake, and your dreams are the only way the enemy can see to try to influence you. So if you're really walking good during the day, you might be attacked at night, but not what they're saying is not every dream is from God. So they're using these examples. So, but you'll know it when it's a God dream. So again, use dreams as a confirmation of things the Lord has already been speaking to you through more trustworthy methods, such as through His Word. Dreams come while you are asleep, visions come while you are awake. Visions can be in the form of a daydream when you see something in the spiritual realm or in your mind's eye, your imagination. God can speak to you through your desires. Psalm 37:4 said, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." The key is delighting yourself in the Lord. in that verse. If you are delighting yourself in carnal things, then you won't be able to trust your desires. However, if you're delighting in the Lord, you will be able to trust that when you want or desire something to happen, that the desire is from God, that is spiritual, not carnal. One way of determining this is if a new desire you've never had before, or if it's an opposite desire, what you've desired in the past. Michael was talking to us about pruning things, you know, and like, hey, I used to like that. Now I don't like that anymore. An example Ashley gave was he was born and bred diehard British. He could never imagine himself living anywhere outside of England. He loved it. But after following God's calling to the United States, his desire changed. And now he can't imagine ever living in England again. His heart changed to follow the plan and purpose God has for him and his family. Your heart will move before your feet will. Don't try to get ahead of the plans of God. You can miss the timing of God with your enthusiasm. Otherwise, you can try to force something with your action and end up running into challenges that God didn't intend for you to have. It would be better to be slightly behind than to run ahead. If you are delighting yourself in the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God, then all of the other things will be added to you as well. That's Matthew 6:33. The word delight means soft and pliable. Basically, if you are soft and pliable to the Lord, then you can trust that your desires are from Him. God speaks to you spirit to spirit. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So that was Elijah. All these big things were happening, but none of that was God when he asked him to show up. It was just came in that small still voice at the end of all that. Sometimes we miss God's voice because we're looking for the spectacular, but God's voice is subtle. We need to be in the Word of God so that we can rightly judge whether we are hearing God or not. However, we also need the Holy Spirit. Imagine a beach full of landmines. You have a map that shows the location of each mine. That is the Word of God. But as you navigate the minefield, you also have a voice behind you saying, go to the right or go to the left, like it says in Isaiah 30, 21. That's the Holy Spirit. In order to safely make your way through, you need both the Word and the Spirit. God's Spirit in you sounds like you. So sometimes you'll miss it because you think, oh, that's just me. And that was just a random thought or feeling I had. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. In your spirit, you are exactly like Jesus. So when God speaks to you in your spirit, it takes faith to believe the still small voice of God. This can sometimes just be a feeling or a hunch. It can be a picture or an impression in your mind's eye, your imagination. Sometimes it can be a feeling that is unsettling, what we tend to call having a check in your spirit or an inner witness. It's a feeling that something isn't quite right that you don't have peace about. Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified Classic says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. There are things you can do to test these things, to determine if it's God or not. The first of being to check the Bible to see if it violates God's word, but sometimes things aren't black or white. So this was part one. I was worried about could I keep this to a half an hour? So if I went too fast, I'm really sorry. I was cognizant of the time the whole time I was going. So this is part one. On Sunday, we'll go into part two, but a lot of these things, now I'll just kind of get off the script. I mentioned on Sunday, when I heard a word for Ron, and it was a tenth, and it was a tenth, and it was a tenth. In my head, it was small, it was subtle. I didn't even know what it was. It felt more like a heartbeat or something until I kind of tuned into it. It was, and I could say, like, it had been there the whole time, but I just wasn't paying attention to it. It was just something going on in my head while other people were talking or something. But until I tuned into it, then I had a word for Ron. And so I understand how that works. I know now, after being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, like the time he's, I said, "Lord, what do you want me to teach this?" And he goes, "Spend some time with me." And I heard that, but it sounded like my voice in my head, but I knew it was him, because I was seeking him at the time. And I'm like, "Lord, is that just for me to spend time with you, or is that the teaching?" And all of a sudden, things started getting downloaded into me. And there was other times when the same thing, like I'm having a conversation with them, but it's my inner dialogue that's happening. But as I n trust more that it's him, like I'm the doubt of, "Oh, that's just me." That whole thing kind of, when I'm seeking him, when I'm in prayer with him, I kind of recognize the voice now. So, and those are all things that I've shared with you in the past, but this is how it works, and I can confirm some of these things that it works for me like this too. So, if you guys have examples, it would be good too. But if not, we will I think we're going to talk about it again on, I know we're going to talk about it again on Sunday.
I heard God's voice audibly one time. It was the day that I realized I was pregnant with Xavier. I was like losing my mind. Like, I took a pregnancy test and I saw that I was pregnant, but I was like, "No, I can't be pregnant. I can't be pregnant." And was like tripping all day. And when I went to bed that night, I was just laying there in the bed and by myself. And then I heard a loud, like deep voice say, "You are with child." And I just kind of like laid there, didn't move. It was so like I knew it was coming from above and it was so powerful. I laid there for like 30 seconds, just not moving and not breathing. And I was like, okay, I
Well,
guess.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, when you said that it wasn't very common, I was like, "Oh, well, I know for a fact Kendra's heard it, and Linda has heard God's audible voice." We have talked about this in our thing, so I thought maybe it's just more common in our group, but yeah. But when you're talking about hearing God's voice, I feel like it's kind of the same thing. I couldn't tell what you said at first when you said you had a word for Ron. Did you say it sounded like a heartbeat or your heart was beating?
So I shared it on Sunday when we were talking about the spiritual gifts. So we were all sitting in a circle up in that place we used to meet in Rodale at the Veterans Hall, and we were all just there. And Ron started having his guttural things or whatever, the moanings or whatever, and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, "Oh, here goes Ron again," and like. I'm just sitting there, like, because I'm like early 20s, I'm the kid around all the old guys and stuff. And he was he starts saying, "Say it, say it." And there was something like just repeating in my head, but I wasn't giving it any thought or anything. Sometimes you could just be singing a song in your head or something, and but as I'm like, "What is that?" And he's asking, I go, "Am I supposed to say something?" And it's just like it finally I tuned into it, and it was a tenth, a tenth, a tenth, a tenth. And so I kind of the story is I whispered it because I didn't know if I was supposed to say something. I'm like, a tenth. And Ron's like, "Oh, say it louder." I'm like, a tenth? I'm doubting, like, am I supposed to? And like he's reacting as I'm saying the words, and finally I said, a tenth. And then I felt the spirit come over me as I said it, and I felt like in the room, and like my eyes are this big, like, what just happened? Because that was my first time anything ever kind of happened like that, or I maybe seen anything like that. And then they came up and talked to me and said, "That was the spirit working through you, and that word was for me." Ron said that word was for me because I've been praying to God about should I be tithing or not, and the word was a tenth. So he was confirming to Ron what he needed to know through me. So, but there was something happening in my head, and I was ignoring it for a long time until I'm like, "Am I supposed to say something? What is that? Oh, a tenth? What? A tenth?" I'm like, that's kind of how the story went for me, but I was early 20s, and I was like, I don't know. But that's that story. So I mean, he spoke to me so I could say a word for wrong in that instance. But
Sometimes I feel like when usually would be at church when we're all together, and it's like you feel like you want to say something, and all of a sudden you just feel like your heart is beating out of your chest. It's like I had heard Aaron Rose told me that Larry told her that. That's the spirit coming on saying that you should say, like, kind of a confirmation of whatever. And I don't really know what it was, if it was just the I didn't know what it was, if it was just the fear that, oh, I'm going to speak up, and I getting like a little adrenaline rush or whatever. But sometimes I would take that as like a clue that something was supposed to be said. But so really what I popped on this, you said something that I didn't catch because I was writing down the line before, but you said something about making your heart soft. Your heart has to be soft and something else has to be soft.
Pliable, that word,
The word delight.
delight yourself in the Lord. That word delight in the word means soft and pliable. The word that they use for delight in, what is that? Matthew? No, that's Psalm 37:4. So the word delight means make yourself soft and pliable. And if you make yourself soft and pliable, he shall give you the desires of your heart.
Okay, maybe that was the part I was looking for.
But
Make yourself soft and pliable
I have
for
an
it.
example of this too, where as I kind of came out of where with a new spirit in it, or I don't want to say that. After my baptism in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden I had a desire to teach and bring the truth to the people. That became my desire when that desire, even though I could teach or something, it wasn't really my desire. Now I'm like, I gotta bring this to the people. And now the people are my desire to bring the truth to them. And I see that as God making that desire in me his will. If that's just been the last few years or whatever, all them years up to it, it's like not really my desire. I worry about myself. But now, as I'm, growing in my faith and walking closer to him, now my desires have changed. Like, there I am teaching all the time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's funny, like I got a liquor cabinet that I don't even touch because I have no desire to even touch it anymore. It wasn't like, oh, I can't touch it anymore. It's just like, I don't, that's not me anymore. I don't want that. So, you know, desires change as, you know, as you're walking with him. And it wasn't like I had to do anything. It's just, it's coming from the inside out.
The verse in Ezekiel, where he says, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, put it within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." So that's, you know, that's that your heart, he's, you know, giving you a heart of flesh that can become pliable and, you know, receptive to him. And then, like you said, it, those desires change, those desires to go, you know, move towards what the Lord wants and his, you know, rules and statutes is the way that Ezekiel puts it. But, you know, sorry, just made me think of that when you were saying that. So.
Yeah, that's a verse that definitely confirms what we're talking about.
I'll share one quick thing too. Just recently, so you know, when I was making the transition to leave CCF, and it was a struggle just because it's your comfort zone and you're leaving and all the things that go with leaving. And I felt like Mark and I felt like we had a real peace about what we were supposed to do. And we weren't called to be there anymore. We were being called out. There was more for us someplace else, and we knew that. But I had this overwhelming sorrow about my Sunday school class and my girls, and to the point where I held on for weeks and weeks, and I just went to Sunday school and taught and then left and didn't spend any time at church and Wednesday nights or anything. And I just kept like prolonging this, kept going, why is it so painful? And why do I feel so like I'm abandoning them or I'm leaving them? And I needed peace about it, and I did not have peace about leaving them. And then one day I was just crying out to the Lord, and I felt him say to me so clearly, you do not need a classroom to speak life to those girls. And when he said it, I just went, that's it. It's about relationship. It's not about going and teaching them. And I knew it was about me making the efforts to keep relationship going with them because I've invested into their life. And anyway, I immediately was like, thank you, Lord, because that is the peace that I needed. He just gives like such clarity sometimes, and just when you're needing it the most. So it was really encouraging. So I wanted to share that.
Yeah, I think when you get his peace too, that is some good confirmation of what you're supposed to be doing. Same thing for me. I shared the dream with you about the bus, but it was that moment when the spirit came over me and he said, "You're focusing on the wrong part, or you're focusing on the wrong words." Instant clarity, instant peace, instant, this is what you want me to do. This is the direction you have for me. And it was as simple as just hearing his voice right there, like you're focusing on the wrong part. Another instance where I heard his voice, but that peace that comes over you afterwards, and it's almost like I just want to praise you because I have total peace over something that I was anxious about. Well, we'll be on this subject for a little while. I don't know how long, but there's a few in this module about hearing his voice, and it's a good topic. It's still part of the basics, so we'll right now we'll do Wednesdays and Sundays. So if you missed, just try to listen to the recording, and when Micah's ready to have another Wednesday night study or something, we'll jump back into that, and we'll just go once a week with this. But We're laying a foundation. I really like what we're doing. I do feel like, oh, I'm just kind of reading this stuff off, but I'm getting a lot out of it too as I'm preparing it for you guys. So I'm enjoying this as well. So I hope this is ministering to you guys.
I have one more question for you. I keep asking mom, and I'm like, I should just ask you. So at this new church, are women allowed to teach?
In Christ, there is no man,
Slave, nor.
free, no or slave, Jew,
Yeah.
nor free. I sat and listened to Audrey Mack, and then I was baptized in the Holy Spirit by her. So, I mean, she has gifts, why not? I welcome it.
Yeah, I felt like that was probably the answer, and I'm not fishing to have a lesson because I don't have one, but I'm just was saying, wouldn't that just change things up a bit if all of a sudden
Well,
we're gonna do a
we've
6 week
been
study
we've
with
been
Bobby?
indoctrinated for a long time about this whole subject, but let's look at it in context. Paul was writing to the Ephesians, who had that whole Diana, Artemis, or whatever gods they had, and it was all about the women were the superior, and that's why he said don't dress like that, because that's what those Ephesians who worshipped. Micah might know, it's either Diana or it's Artemis or something like that, but that's what they were doing in
Diana
Ephesus.
was a goddess.
Yeah, so they were worshiping her and the fertility and it's kind of like the women were more superior. So what he wrote about this was like, don't, that's their thing. That's not this in Christ, Don't think about your beauty and your earrings and your hair. Think about what the inside beauty that comes with Christ and all of those things. So that was the context of those things that he wrote. He said women don't speak in the churches because that's what they did, the Diana worshipers or whatever. Micah, as a man, would you like to teach us about any of this stuff if you know? Just kidding.
Through Karis and all the women that we learn from, and you learn from Audrey and all those things. But then to turn around and come into this setting, you just immediately revert back to all the previous rules. And I was like, I'm curious to see if this is going to happen. And so that's why I just thought I would throw that out there. So that's all.
I will listen to anybody, and my spirit recognizes it and speaks it to my spirit. I'm good with it. Anyway, I can try to do some more research on the whole what was happening in Ephesus and why Paul wrote what he wrote, but it's not something that we should just have as legalism rules. I mean, we all have Christ in us, and we all have gifts. One of the things I fought for was like, why can't Bobby lead worship? I mean, she has a gift. Who else has this gift? I don't have this gift. She should, if she has a gift, we should exploit the gifts that God has given us and use them for one another. So that's just one small little example, but he didn't just give gifts to men. There's gifts given to women as well, and it says that in the word as well. So,
I can look into it more too, but it does have, it did a lot of it had to do with contextually of just like the way people were acting then, right? It's not a sin to wear jewelry or want to wear necklaces and all that stuff, right? But it was like why they were doing it, the people that they were doing it, what, the showing off that I have money, type of thing working its way into the church. Those type of like contextual things is a lot of the, I don't know about in regards to, women speaking in church side of things, but a lot of that stuff in there. There's a lot of like cultural context behind it as well.
yeah,
It's still
it was
timeless, right? I'm sure it's there's a lot there, obviously still for us, but some of those things. It's not necessarily like, well, that was then, this is now type of thing, but there are certain things that touch on the first century issues that they were dealing with.
cultural. It was a cultural thing. That's what he was writing against. So, anybody got anything else? Well, this is just the beginning. So, if you think of other things. And we'll stir something up next time. Please share. So. Micah, will you pray for us tonight?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we're able to spend together, Lord. Pray that you're just able to make our hearts soft and pliable for the word that you brought, Lord, and just help us to saturate ourselves in it and just soak it in and speak to us with it how you want it to be spoke, Lord. And we just thank you for Dan for what he's been bringing and what he continues to bring. I pray that you just bless the rest of this night. In your name I pray. Amen.